Psalm 36, verse 7 says, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings." As the psalm exemplifies, Jesus belonged to a religious tradition which experienced God as fiercely protective and eager to provide shelter for the lost, the lonely, the poor, and all those ordinarily found on the margins of society. Jesus had earthly parents who went to great lengths to preserve and protect his life and see to it that he grew up well-nourished and properly educated. Jesus' own prayer life taught him that he could address God in the same way that he could speak to a faithful and loving parent. Jesus' feelings of care and of compassion for the people all around him sometimes found expression through that image of sheltering wings. As we know, for example, from Luke's report, that when Jesus arrived in the place which represented the heart of everything, the center of the world, he exclaimed, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." It is, therefore, perhaps not surprising that when Jesus talked to his disciples about the future, that he would say something like this. And this is John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12, Jesus addressing his disciples, saying, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." What might it mean to abide in someone's love by keeping their commandments? This is a question, it seems to me, which might be best answered by calling to mind a few specific examples. Anna Garcia Ashley is the executive director of a nationwide organization working to improve communities. She meets people from all backgrounds and all walks of life and provides leadership in how people can actively participate in making decisions that affect the quality of their lives in their communities. "We're all responsible for what is happening or not happening," she says. "We're all responsible for what is happening or not happening at a local level and at a national level." She came to this philosophy and to her current role because of one life-changing event and one very influential person. When Anna was a child, her family, along with thousands of others, fled the violence and the political instability unfolding in her home country and took refuge in the United States. "I remember every frame of that experience quite vividly," says Anna. "For a time, it left her feeling very disoriented and helpless. But as she grew up, she increasingly found herself listening to her grandmother's voice inside her head. Back in the Dominican Republic, Grandma had been a teacher and a seamstress in her small village. And granddaughter Anna had often seen Grandma march right up and challenge anyone who seemed to be misusing the power of their position. Question people who have authority because they tend not to use it well unless you stay on top of them," is how Anna sums up her grandma's teaching and example. "She would take on anybody," says Anna. "She wouldn't tolerate anything." Today, Anna is obedient to her grandmother's courage and commitment to community well-being by trying always to find the best in any particular individual and to bring it out. "To me," Anna explains, "there's only one way to be a Christian, and that's out in the public arena doing something." In this way, she abides in her grandmother's love and finds sustenance for the work that she's doing each day. Although grandmas are renowned for being an abiding source of love and a strong motivation to right action, not all examples come from the ranks of grandmothers. A complete stranger, a person we've never even met, might also be the originator of a compelling vision of what it looks like to follow the commands of love. Thomas Long tells a story that he learned from someone he met in coal mining country in Pennsylvania. It's a story that dates back to the early 1930s, but which Thomas still carries around in his mind and in his heart in the hopes that he would have the courage and grace to behave in some similar way should the need ever arise. It seems that back in the 1930s, in the coal mining country of Pennsylvania, a young Presbyterian woman committed the unspeakable crime of becoming engaged to a Catholic. Such a thing was unforgivable back in those days, and her community immediately turned its back on her. Everyone refused to speak to her. She would walk up to try to join a conversation, and all the talk would literally stop, and people would turn and walk away. And then, finally, one Sunday, when she was really becoming quite overcome with loneliness, one Sunday, in complete defiance of the prevailing attitude, a highly respected older woman in the congregation approached this young woman and embraced her. In full view of a large crowd, and so that she could easily be heard, the older woman said, "May the blessing of God, the whole blessing of God, be upon you and on your marriage." 60 years later, that younger woman is still expressing gratitude for the difference that one act of courageous kindness had made in her life. Again, we hear the words of Jesus. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Mia Lawson has a memory of love in action that she recounts with a sort of grateful pride and awe and admiration. "It gives me a joy to speak of her mother's obedience to a love that goes beyond self. Although the story she tells is from a deeply distressing and tragic time in Southern California history." According to a letter published recently in the Los Angeles Times, this is the way Mia remembers the day, just barely over 20 years ago, when the verdict was announced in the Rodney King case. "I was 11 years old," Mia writes. "I was living in an apartment in the Crenshaw District on Florence and 10th Avenue with my mom, my siblings, and my stepfather. My mom had scheduled a maintenance visit from Pacific Bell. A tall, slender white man with shoulder-length blonde hair, blue eyes, and a thick mustache came to work on the phone line. He finished repairs exactly at the moment of the not guilty verdict announcement. The technician packed his tools, walked out of our apartment, and was immediately attacked in the courtyard by members of a gang. They broke his nose as they punched and kicked him to the ground. Miraculously, he escaped and ran back to our apartment. He banged on the door, screaming for help. As my mother opened the door, he fell inside onto the floor. She brought towels to staunch the blood. She helped him into the bathroom. She called 911, and paramedics came to get him. During the subsequent 6 days of rioting, firecrackers were ignited at our door to scare us, and we received death threats. When the rioting declined, threats died down, but taunting continued well after the incident until finally my family moved to another neighborhood. My mom's decision to help the technician was a pivotal moment in my life," Mia explains. "My mother has personally experienced countless incidents of discrimination in the course of her life. However, and even with her great sensibility and sensitivity to injustices inflicted on African Americans, she never let her outrage compromise her humanity." Mia says, "She taught me how empathy supersedes hatred. Empathy supersedes hatred. That's the lesson Jesus was trying to teach when he said, love one another as I have loved you, and then endured a painful death on a cross rather than compromise his love. Jesus, along with the other examples we've considered, causes me to think that maybe the experience of receiving great love is what makes it possible for us to demonstrate great love through actions that might put life or reputation on the line. Jesus knew that he was profoundly loved by God. In turn, he showered that love on his disciples. He then proposed that we serve as a link in the ongoing chain. If you love one another, you both do God's will and keep yourself centrally situated and held in God's strong love, he explained. You both pass the blessing on and dwell in the blessing at the same time, might be another way of putting it. Jesus invited us to imitate his way of being and acting in the world, just as loving mothers and grandmothers in our own families and communities have inspired us to imitate their justice-seeking, grace-conveying, life-promoting actions and attitudes. We are truly fortunate to be surrounded still by so many fine examples of how to live the Jesus way. Living out Christ's commandments to love one another is not, of course, necessarily easy, and it also does not necessarily receive immediate positive support from those around us. And that's why we need to remember and to recount these examples of those who, from biblical times until the present day, have gathered others and gathered us under their sheltering wings and offered very real protection, safety, and encouragement. When we stay in touch with how it feels to be held by love, we summon our strength for abiding in that love. Sometimes our memories have to be long and our faith persistent, because the work of love can bring us many discouragements. One woman who had no biological children of her own, but was referred to by most of the world as mother, went for decades at a time without feeling that God was actually anywhere close by. It was on the power of one vivid encounter with Christ in 1946 and 1 5-week period in 1959 when she sensed God's love holding her close that Mother Teresa founded, built, and led the mission which has tended for 66 years now to the wounded, the impoverished, and the dying in India's major cities. As Michael Slaughter has said, imagine the hole that would be left in the fabric of the world if Mother Teresa had not trusted the truth of her vision and the promise of God's love, even in those times when she felt God as more of an absence than a presence. Imagine what we all would have lost if she had not determined to continue acting on Jesus' instruction that we love one another, no matter how lonely or bereft she might have felt on any given day. She held fast to the memory of being face to face with Jesus and the memory of being embraced by God. And so we have all benefited and learned from her decision to abide in that holy relationship by daily putting into practice the commandment to love. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 promises that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We count on that promise to help us abide in God by keeping Christ's commandment to love one another as he loved us. The song with which we're going to begin our prayer this morning references Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, which describes how God's guidance is sometimes like that of an eagle, stirring up its nest, hovering over its young, taking them up and bearing them aloft on its pinions. Holy God, we pray using the words of another, one of the beautiful Psalms which speak to us of you, asking that you be merciful to us today and always. Be merciful to us, O God, for in your refuge we find our home. In the shadow of your wings, we each take refuge, and will continue to do so until the destroying storms pass by. On this day, O God, we think especially of mothers and children all around the world who may be very much in need of a safe refuge. We ask for the way and for the will to do our part so that your vision of health and wholeness for all may be achieved. On this day as well, gracious God, we are mindful of those who are missing the sheltering refuge that their mothers once provided them. We ask that you comfort these grieving hearts and send new friends to nurture and accompany them. We thank you for new mothers and for those who have mothered generations, not only children and grandchildren, but even perhaps great-grandchildren. And Holy God, today we join and magnify the prayer of all mothers everywhere, that your shalom would grow and prevail across the earth, so that there would be no more dying of the children. We join Jesus in praying the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.